finance and economics.
The Sino-Dependency Index. Declaration of China Dependence. For an American multinational, is exposure to China still a good thing?
Before the global financial crisis, emerging economies like China aspired to decouple themselves from the rich world, hoping that local demand and regional trade would sustain them even if Western markets faltered. After the crisis, rich economies aspired to couple themselves with China, one of the few sources of growth in a moribund world. Car makers in Germany, iron ore miners in Australia, and milk powder makers in New Zealand all benefited enormously from exports to the Middle Kingdom. Every company needed a China story to tell. But as China slows and America gradually recovers, those stories are becoming less compelling. Some of them are turning into cautionary tales. Exposure to China does not always endear a firm to investors, as GlaxoSmithKline, a British pharmaceutical giant embroiled in a corruption scandal in the country, is now discovering. As a rough gauge of multinational exposure to China, The Economist in 2010 introduced the Sino-Dependency Index, a stock market index that weights American multinationals according to their China revenues. The latest version of the index includes all of the members of the S&P 500 index that provide a usable geographical breakdown of their revenues. The weight of each of these 133 firms in the index reflects their market capitalization multiplied by China's share of their revenues. A company worth $100 billion that derives 10% of its revenues from China has the same weight as one worth $20 billion deriving half of its revenues from China. Where firms report their revenues for Asia-Pacific but not for China, the index assumes that China's share of regional revenues matches its share of regional GDP. The biggest members of the index are Apple, with an 11% weight in 2013, followed by Qualcomm, 8.3%, and Intel, 7%. Most of the firms in the index are more dependent on China now than they were. China accounted for 11.2% of their revenues on average in 2012, compared with 9.8% in 2009. Although the dependence has risen, the rewards have not. After handily outperforming the S&P 500 benchmark in 2009 to 2011, the Sino-Dependency Index has since struggled to keep pace. So far this year, it has risen by 9.6%. That is far better than China's own stock markets, which have fallen by over 9%. But both have been overshadowed by the much stronger performance of the conventional S&P 500 index, which is up by 18%. Perhaps the 367 S&P 500 companies that are not in our index should loudly proclaim their Sino independence.